Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence and You at Senior Talk Radio. We've been talking with the Honorable Teresa Corrigan, along with co-host Otto Loos, and of course, Christina Liu, the radio show producer. Before we went to break, we were just talking about how the changes were implemented during the very early part of COVID. And, you know, talking about the prisoners and how some were able to go virtually, you know, so what happened then weeks later? What were the things? Because you said at the time we weren't social, we didn't really recognize social distancing as kind of a rule at that point. When did that start coming in and how did that then start impacting again, you know, some of the changes that were going on?
So I would say by April, we had a very good handle on limiting movement around the building, limiting contact with everyone. So in the beginning, where we were all here in the building and we pretty much moving around freely, by the beginning of April, the freedom of movement was very restricted, although we were still all in this courthouse. But you know, mask wearing was always required, but that was strictly enforced. The different court parts remained within their designated spaces that we provided them within the building. So that worked out very well. And no one from the public was allowed in at that point in time. So the building was shut down to the public. If you were not an employee, you were not coming into the building.
How long did that go on, that no public could come in?
So the public didn't start really coming back into the building until around the end of May, beginning of June. And that's the point in time where we spread out the courts back to their own buildings. So by the middle of May, we started moving family court back to family court in Westbury. We moved district court back to their building in Hempstead. The matrimonial center went back across the street. Supreme went back across the street. So by June 1, we were in a very good place. Judges were starting to come back from being home. They were able to be in the building. People were starting to come back. I think we were allowed to go to like 50% capacity at that point. So, you know, by the middle of May, we were spreading people out and then allowing, slowly starting to allow the reopening of the buildings to foot traffic. June 1, foot traffic was allowed in.
How about, you mentioned at the break, we talked about speedy trial. How did it impact the backlog of trials that, you know, crime doesn't stop or things don't stop just because COVID came along? In some cases, it probably increases. So you wind up with so many cases, and in order to give people speedy trials, it's almost physically impossible as I see it. How did that affect the backlog?
So the backlog, unfortunately, is still the backlog, but some of the things we were able to do, and this was with the assistance of Madeline Singus and the district attorney's office in conjunction with the jail and the defense bar, who really all the parties stepped up. It was very much a unified joint effort to try to protect everyone's rights during this unique and completely unique time. What happened first and foremost, there were a lot of people in jail on cases that maybe they didn't need to necessarily be there because they didn't have a violent background, or they were a little elderly, or they had a health risk. So in the early stages, March, April, even parts of May, there was a full review of all of the criminal cases pending here in Nassau County. And any individual who was incarcerated that could be let out, because we knew we weren't going to be getting to their trials anytime soon, they were released. Now, if those individuals upon being released committed crimes, and unfortunately, I'm aware of two, They were reincarcerated upon recommitting crimes. But the other individuals who did not recommit crimes, they were able to get out and stay out. So that greatly reduced the population within the jail. So remaining in the jail were violent criminals with significant charges against them. Unfortunately, this is just the reality of the situation. There were no trials and there were no hearings between March and June. Even in June, we weren't able to do trials or hearings. July, we started the process of getting grand juries back because we hadn't even had grand juries. Now, those are the 23 people that sit to determine if a person who's been charged with a crime should be held for a trial. So there were people arrested and charged with a crime sitting in jail. And the normal procedure is within 7 days of that arrest and being placed in jail, you know, if a grand jury has decided you should be held for charges, they were held for months without that process. So we needed to get that process back in place. Now, there was a safety net. I was reviewing every one of those cases personally as a supervising judge with the attorneys, and we were making a joint decision based on all of our experience whether this individual would likely be indicted by a grand jury, whether there was good cause to keep the person in, whether we had enough legal basis to hold them without a grand jury having reviewed the evidence, because we were in the middle of a pandemic. So there was something that was protecting them anyway, but it wasn't until October that we got back to grand juries and civil juries. And it wasn't until November, just recently, that we got back to criminal juries. So speedy trial was not happening and unfortunately is not happening, but we are doing everything to protect those individuals' rights given the unique circumstance that we're currently in.
Now, during that whole process, there were no jury trials, I would assume, because correct, people who would be jurors, if you will, couldn't go into court because of COVID. You didn't have anything where you could be a jurist in a jury and wear a mask or any of that. In other words, there were no juries.
The main reason there were no juries is because the Department of Health was telling us it was too dangerous to bring that number of people together. It was right, just too dangerous. And safety had to come first for everybody, for the litigants, for the public, for the judges, for the defendants. Safety first. So we couldn't bring anyone in because CDC and the health department said, don't do it. Eventually, I reconfigured this courthouse to allow for grand juries socially distanced and to allow for petit juries, which is trial juries, to be socially distanced. So we got it. We were there. We were able to figure it out. We reconfigured all of these courtrooms.
Just a basic question then, maybe there's no simple answer. How do you determine if a jury should be involved with a case? What's the, you know, what takes place there? How do I know as a non-law person whether there's going to be a jury trial or not?
So there's the statute tells us for lower level crimes, for B misdemeanors and below, for the most part, there are not juries. For A misdemeanors, which means you cannot be sentenced to more than 1 year of incarceration. That's the A misdemeanor threshold. You can have a jury, but it's a jury of six. For any felony charge, you as the person charged, the accused, you have a right to a jury trial. It's 12 people. You always have alternates in case somebody gets sick. But if you as the defendant, if you right now were sitting incarcerated and you wanted a trial, we cannot give you a jury trial right now because we've been shut down again, but we can give you what's called a bench trial. But you as the accused would have to be the one that says, Madam Judge, Mr. Judge, can you please be the person who hears the evidence in my case? And can you please be the fact finder? That's normally the jury's job, in addition to the person who deals with the law. So the judge themselves becomes the jury in a bench trial. We can do that right now, not many people that are accused wants the judge to make the determination about the facts. We have too much experience. They'd rather their peers make that determination.
Right. Yeah, they would probably, a juror, I have been on a jury, and it becomes more emotional, your personal likes, dislikes, and maybe not the law.
Exactly. And that's why most accused want a jury of their peers. They don't want a judge who's been doing their job for, you know, a couple of decades to be the one deciding the facts. We as judges are supposed to be able to weed through the antics, the emotions, you know, the gamesmanship, right? So that's good for the judge. That's maybe not so good for the person who's accused. They want the jury to be involved emotionally. They want the jury to be involved in a, you know, in deciding whether this evidence is good, whether this person was telling the truth, whether this law enforcement officer did the right thing.
Maybe the jurors would have a little bit more empathy because they're not legally tied into it. And, you know, you can kind of relate and it's easier to relate in that way. So where are we today now that cases are going up? And, you know, it's looking like things are shutting down. And are the courts yet again now have to go back a few steps?
Unfortunately, we have gone back a few steps. But again, safety first. Everything Chief Judge DeFiore does is based on the safety and well-being of everyone involved in the court system. So we were excited to have one criminal trial get held here. It started November 10th. It was finished by the following week. It went off without a hitch for the most part. The jury was successfully picked, socially distanced. We had face masks and face shields for everybody because in a criminal case, you can't cover a person's face and determine their credibility. You have to be able to see the person's face. So we would give them a face shield that was see-through so you could see their face. And we had plexiglass and distancing and markings on the floor, and it went so well. And then unfortunately, the numbers really started to spike again throughout the state. And the chief judge felt it was more important, again, to keep everyone safe than to push trials through and to push grand juries through. So trials have been shut down. Again, we are not calling in any citizens of Nassau County for trial jury service. We have one grand jury that's still sitting. They will finish their work. Their last day will be next Wednesday, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And then they will be done, and we will not call in citizens for grand jury duty for the immediate future. And we're going to wait, and we're going to follow the science and listen to the health department experts, you know, the and all of the experts related to health in making
That's
a
good.
Determination.
We actually have to go to break right now, but we will get right back into it as soon as we return. You've been listening to Project Independence and You, and we'll be right back.